Well, good morning. My name's Mark, and it's a joy to be with you this morning, and it's good to be home, good to be back with you. I want to thank our church officers, our leaders, our MCs, our ministry staff, our support staff, and Richard, who filled the pulpit last week, for making everything happen. It makes it easy for me when I need to be out of town. But again, great to be back with you. Today, we're going to continue in our study in Mark's gospel. And we're going to be looking at a man today. His name is Bartimaeus. He's a man who's down and out. Maybe sometimes you have felt down and out. And you can identify some with Bartimaeus. But Bartimaeus was down and out. He was marginalized. He needed help. He was not respected. And he was desperately in need of God's mercy. Not just physically, but even more importantly, for his soul. So, I pray that as we read this text this morning, that we will gain some spiritual insight and some spiritual application for our own lives. We'll look now at Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. Listen now for God's word to us today. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him, told him, "Be quiet." But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and he said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, said, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped up to his feet and he came to Jesus. "What do you want for me to do to you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus. "Your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, it's quite appropriate this morning that we sang Amazing Grace. That's a song that I believe really captures the heart of the Gospel of Mark. And most of us, I think, know this hymn, this song quite well. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. That last phrase, was blind, but now I see, I think in a sense that really captures the main thrust of Mark's gospel and what he's trying to convey to us about the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you remember back in Mark's gospel, back to chapter 8, you may remember there was another story there of a guy who was blind, and the crowds brought him to Jesus, and Jesus does heal this man, but if you remember, it was kind of a unique story because it took Jesus two tries to heal the man's blindness before he could see clearly. But he does restore the man from blindness to sight. And I think that speaks something to us about the overall message of the Gospel of Mark, that through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, that those who trust in Jesus are brought from spiritual blindness to spiritual sight. And I think that's why at the end of chapter 8, Jesus posed this question to his disciples. He said, "Do you not yet perceive or understand? Having eyes, do you not yet see? I think that's a question that we all have to wrestle with spiritually. And that's one we're going to wrestle with today, you and me. Having eyes, do we not yet see? Or do you see, but you don't yet understand? You may have physically 20/20 vision. Anyone have 20/20 vision? Yeah, all right. No glasses needed, no contacts, right? You may have physically 20/20 vision, but spiritually you may not see clearly. So we're going to take a look at this miracle of the healing of blind Bartimaeus today, you and me. And there's three things that I think we'll encounter, or that we will encounter today as we look at this. I think these are things that are applicable for us. First, we'll see that out of all of the people recorded in Mark chapter 10, that this blind beggar was the only one who had spiritual insight to really see Jesus and to really understand who Jesus is. Second, we'll see that out of all of the people, especially compared to the crowds, there was only one person who had relentless mercy, and that was Jesus. And finally, we'll see that after being brought from blindness to sight, Bartimaeus became a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus. So three things to look at this morning: spiritual insight, relentless mercy, and discipleship in action. We'll take these in order. The first is spiritual insight. One thing you can recognize in people who are desperate is this. People who are desperate tend to be very persistent. Have you ever noticed that? People who are desperate, they are persistent. They are relentless. They are tenacious. Blind Bartimaeus, he is really determined. Really determined, right? The passage says that Jesus is leaving Jericho. He's with his disciples. There's a crowd of people following him. And as they are leaving, we're told that this blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, his name is Bartimaeus, he is on the side of the road. Now, Mark really likes talking about geography and physical place. He talks a lot about that. And when Mark talks about geography and physical place, he talks about that because it always has a spiritual or a theological significance to it. And here we have physical placement that's highlighted in this passage, right? He tells us Bartimaeus was on the side of the road, meaning Bartimaeus is sidelined, meaning Bartimaeus is not important. He's not the main attraction. You might have noticed in the passage there was no red carpet rolled out for Bartimaeus, right? He's marginalized. He's forgotten about. He is a nobody. That's what this means. He's on the side of the road. It is a location to be in, but it also has deeper meaning for Mark. Now, what Bartimaeus lacks in physical sight, he seems to make up for with spiritual insight, right? He can't see you with his eyes, but we will begin to notice that Bartimaeus sees with his heart. I sometimes wonder how Bartimaeus knew that it was Jesus who was walking by. Jesus was a very common name in those days. So how did he not think it was just some other Jesus? But he knew this was not just any old Jesus coming by. Bartimaeus was blind, but he could hear. And he knew this was Jesus of Nazareth. How did he know that? Well, at this point, Jesus is pretty popular. There are many people following Jesus. There are many people that want things from Jesus. There's even many people who are angry at Jesus. And so if you're blind, if you're down and out, if you are desperate, you've got nothing else to lose. And so Bartimaeus, ascertaining that this is the Jesus, he's got nothing to lose. And so he cries out with all of his heart, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the crowds rebuke him. "Be quiet, Bartimaeus. Be
be quiet. Don't distract Jesus. Jesus has important things to do. So what does Bartimaeus do? Well, he is even more persistent. And because of his spiritual insight, he quote unquote sees something in Jesus that perhaps no one else can see. His physical condition does not stop him. The oppression of the crowds does not stop him. The rebuke of the people to be quiet does not stop him. In fact, all of this seems to motivate him. And then it says, all the more, he cried out, have mercy on me. He cries out even more desperately. He cries out even more strongly. Now, I think one of the reasons that Bartimaeus' cry to Jesus is so persistent is this. You know, you'll never know the reality of Jesus unless you realize your necessity for Jesus. Okay? You'll never desire and long in your heart for Jesus, for a Savior, unless you recognize your own sinfulness and your own deep need for a Savior. It's like this. In everyday life, if you have a toothache, you will begin all the more to think about the dentist. Yes? Right? Yeah. Right? We can independently verify that today. If you have a toothache, what comes to your mind? Well, the dentist really becomes large in your mind. Like, I've got this pain. I need to call the dentist. I need to make an appointment. When can we get this scheduled? I need to get this taken care of. And this is going to occupy your mind until you can see the dentist and get the issue addressed and fixed, right? Because you are focused on and desperate about this particular thing. So spiritually, unless you see your spiritual need for a spiritual doctor, then you'll never be like Bartimaeus. You'll never have this deep desire to really want to cry out for mercy to a Savior. But Bartimaeus, he got this. He understood this. He was motivated by this, right? He understood this. Now, this is interesting. This is the first time in the Gospel of Mark that we hear this language, this name for Jesus, Son of David. It is actually used one more time in Mark's Gospel, and it's by Jesus identifying himself in this way. But Bartimaeus had this real insight into identifying Jesus. And he uses this name, this kind of idea of prophetic fulfillment in Jesus, Son of David. And so this blind beggar in desperate need, he's really one of the few and the first to really recognize Jesus for who he is in Mark's gospel. And here at this point in chapter 10 is this inflection point in Mark's gospel. Because from this point on, we finish out chapter 10 today, and from this point on in chapters 11 through the end of the gospel in chapter 16, we get into the triumphal entry of Jesus to Jerusalem. So he's leaving Jericho now. He's going to Jerusalem. We have the kind of Palm Sunday text, triumphal entry. We have Jesus' passion and suffering, his crucifixion, his death, burial, and resurrection. These are the things yet to come in the Gospel of Mark. And up until this point has been teaching and has been miracles and healings. And this is the last miracle or healing, rather, in Mark's gospel that we see today, right? And I think in this miracle, this healing of blind Bartimaeus, in some sense, we see the entire purpose of Mark's gospel has been realized here. It's been realized not in the disciples, it's been realized not in the religious leaders of the day, but it's been realized in this blind beggar who sees his deep need for mercy from the Son of David, from Jesus. Bartimaeus is blind. He has no eyes, but he is beginning to see. He's a beggar with no education, with no money, but he is beginning to understand. Many of you, you've probably heard of Helen Keller. Now, Helen Keller was born both blind and deaf. And she lived her whole life blind and deaf. And she was once asked this. Someone asked her, is it terrible to be blind? Kind of an insensitive question, but asked her, is it terrible to be blind? And she replied, better to be blind and to see with the heart than to have two good eyes and to see nothing. And I think that's what Mark is getting at today, right? Bartimaeus had no physical sight, but he was one of the only ones to truly see and understand who Jesus was. We may be able to see spiritually. I'm sorry, we may be able to see physically, but Bartimaeus is telling us that it is critically important that we are able to see with our hearts. So, that's the first thing today, spiritual insight. Spiritual insight. The second is relentless mercy. Relentless mercy. We see mercy in Jesus' response to Bartimaeus. And his response is very much in sharp contrast to the response of the crowds. You have this blind man. This blind man is at the mercy of the crowds. He is at the mercy of strangers. And if you can imagine for a moment in your mind's eye, place yourself into the shoes, or maybe the sandals, of Bartimaeus. Place yourself into his shoes. Imagine your entire life, you are blind. You simply look into the dark abyss. That's all you see. Every day you sit by the side of the road, hoping for people to show you mercy, hoping for people to be compassionate to you, maybe to give you some money, maybe to give you some food, but all they do is rebuke you. Be quiet, Bartimaeus. You're at their mercy, but you don't get any. You've heard the stories about Jesus. He teaches like no other. He heals like no other. He loves like no other. And then all of a sudden, there's this ruckus that builds up because there's this crowd. They're following Jesus. You hear them talking about Jesus. You are in total darkness. But what do you have to lose? And so you cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The people say, be quiet. Be quiet, Bartimaeus. Jesus is on mission. Jesus has important things to do. Jesus has important people to see, not you. But then there's this mercy that we see in the Savior in contrast to the crowds. What does Jesus do? Jesus hears. And Jesus stops. Imagine the scene in the midst of this cacophony and the crowd and the dust and the road. All of a sudden, Jesus hears this voice of the blind beggar, and he stops because his heart is merciful. The crowd wants to move forward. The crowd wants to neglect this marginalized man, but Jesus hears his cry. And he stops to heal him. Jesus tells the crowd, bring him to me. Bring Bartimaeus to me. And then Jesus asks Bartimaeus, I think a somewhat surprising question. Did you pick up on that? Jesus asked Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? Maybe it's a rhetorical question. I don't know. Of course, everyone knows what Bartimaeus wants Jesus to do for him. He wants Jesus to restore his sight. I think this points to something that's very interesting, very unique about this account. In this healing, there is warmth. There is kindness. There is an interest in the human being, in the person Bartimaeus, right? Jesus knows Bartimaeus wants his eyesight healed, right? But he asks him this question, and he shows him warmth, and he shows him tenderness. He wants to interact with him as a human being, to be loved, right? Not just as a problem, to be solved. Does that make sense? I mean, we tend to want to fix problems. I know, I'll use myself as an example. I tend to want to fix problems. I see a problem, I want to fix it. I think it's somewhat of a Mark thing, and I think it's somewhat of a man thing that we like to fix problems, right? And sometimes I miss the person, right? I just want to fix the problem. And sometimes I don't really humanize the person with tenderness and with warmth. But here, Jesus, he wants Bartimaeus to articulate and to express his needs, right? What's going on? Tell me about it. I'm here to listen to you. It's often easy to think it's just the problem that needs to be fixed. But oftentimes, when it comes to healing, it's also the person who needs to be loved, the person who needs to be heard. And the more compassionate you are, the more that you understand your own brokenness and your own need, the more that your heart breaks for people who are broken and hurting, the more that you can take hold of the powerless and of the marginalized with the power of the gospel, then the more you are being like Jesus. So Jesus says, "What can I do for you? You have a problem, but you are also a person. I'm going to love you, and I'm going to listen to you." We would all do well to take that lesson to heart when it comes to our own families, to our own relationships, right? You may know the problem. That's usually the easy part, to identify the problem, right? But maybe it's more important to focus on the person, right? With warmth and tenderness, to focus on the person that needs to be loved, to listen and to talk and to show compassion and mercy, right? Maybe that's the lesson for us. Every day, every morning, you know, we wake up and we just pray, you know, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, right? We need that every single morning. There's, you know, the truth is this, the more successful we are, the more educated we are, right? The more competent we are, the more healthy we are, the better our finances are. And I mean, we're a blessed people, right? We tend to be a competent people. We're doing okay in life. But the more we are like that, then the more we tend to forget our deep need for Jesus and his mercies, right? But we all need God's mercy every single day. Now, Bartimaeus comes to Jesus, and Jesus asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now, you know, Jesus, he also asked the disciples this question in Mark chapter 10, verse 35, right? This is what Richard preached on last year. He asked them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And if you remember, the disciples answered, and they said, "We want glory. We want fame. We want power. We want respect." But Bartimaeus, he says, "I want mercy." Now, I don't have to tell you, one of these is the right way, and the other leads to destruction. What the disciples say in verse 35, you know, they say, "Jesus, grant us the best seats in your house," right? At your right hand and your left hand. They want fame and power and prestige and glory. It's like they're using Jesus as their ticket to greatness. I mean, they have been the inner circle of disciples. They have spent all this time with Jesus. They have heard his teachings. They have seen his miracles, right? But they are still spiritually blind. But Bartimaeus wants mercy. He wants kindness. He wants compassion. And I think these two stories are in Mark chapter 10 to show us exactly what Jesus came to do. And the disciples haven't seen it. They are going to learn it in these next chapters. They are going to learn, but they don't see it yet. Bartimaeus is the only one who gets it. He's the only one with spiritual insight and with clarity about who Jesus is in Mark chapter 10. You remember Mark chapter 10 has kind of these three, we've had 3 weeks in Mark chapter 10, and it began with the rich young ruler, remember? And the rich young ruler had a question for Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, well, you just got to sell everything you've got, give it all away, get rid of it, and then come and follow me. And if you remember the rich young ruler, he went away sad, right? He couldn't do it. Right? Jesus says, I want you to do this simply to prove to me that your identity and your worth does not come from your wealth and your position. But the man could not do it because, you know, the world tells us, like, work and put all this effort into building wealth and to building accomplishments, you know. And then Jesus says, just get rid of all that. The man was struggling to process what this means for him. And then the disciples, in the middle part of chapter 10, the disciples, they come to Jesus, right? They don't have the same riches of that man, of the rich young ruler, but they ask for prestige and power and proximity to the man of the hour. They still don't get it. And then we have this one guy who gets it, this one blind beggar. He is down and out. He's not educated. He's not rich. He has no connections, but he's the one who gets it. He's the one who gets it. And the application for you and for me is this, that every day, that every morning of your life, just think about it. Pray it for a second. Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. So there's spiritual insight. There's relentless mercy. And finally, we see discipleship in action. The healing of Bartimaeus is actually the saving of Bartimaeus. Jesus says in verse 52, go your way, your faith has made you well. That language is not just saying your faith has caused your eyesight to be healed. Bartimaeus didn't just get physical healing. This is saying Bartimaeus now has salvation for his soul, right? His eyesight has been healed, but now he has salvation for his soul. And the conversation here of Bartimaeus, it really stands in sharp contrast to the conversation with James and John earlier in chapter 10, right? They're asking for places of glory. But here's a man who's simply being healed, not just of his eyesight, but also of his soul. And you remember at the beginning of the sermon, I mentioned how Mark likes to use geography or place for a theological or spiritual meaning or significance. And so Bartimaeus was off to the side of the road, and that spoke something about his condition spiritually. You know, he was off to the side of the road. But now, he gets saved. And now he is on the way. He is on the path. He is following Jesus. He is a disciple of Jesus, right? This has some spiritual significance, right? Now, before you were a Christian, you were off to the side of the road. You were not a main character in the story, right? But when you're saved, you metaphorically then find yourself on the path, on the way, on the road. You're following Jesus. If you're saved, if you're truly saved, you become like Bartimaeus, a disciple. You're spiritually healed. You're brought onto this way, right? That was a way they talked about Christians, right? They were people of the way. They were on the way following Jesus. So Bartimaeus becomes on the way, and it says he immediately followed Jesus. He began to follow Jesus on the way. He was beside the road. Now he's on the way. He's following Jesus. I think in some ways we experience these trajectories in our lives as well. Now, some of you may be too much on the side of the road right now. You may be a believer, but you may have pushed Jesus to the side. Or you may have pushed the church to the side. Or you may have pushed kingdom priorities to the side. You're a believer, but you're kind of like Bartimaeus before he was saved. You're on the side of the road. You've been sidelined. But if you are someone who is really a disciple, who is really saved, if you're really someone who follows Jesus, then, you know, I mean, and just to say, that's one of the main reasons we're a church, right? For people to become disciples, to be people of the way following Jesus, to be a gospel-centered, diverse, international community, making disciples, following Jesus on the way. I mean, if you are someone following Jesus, you're to be on the way. But maybe as you evaluate your own life and your own faith, you may find out, man, I'm like too much off to the side of the road. I've let other things take the place of prominence and priority in my life. And here's the thing. You can't receive Jesus without the obligation of following Jesus, right? If you're not on the way, you're not following Jesus. So it's just something, you know, to evaluate, like if other things taken the place of following Jesus. And if Jesus has touched your heart, if Jesus has healed you, if once you were blind, but now you see, right? The only way is to be on the road, is to be on the way, is to be following Jesus. Are you following Jesus in your life, in your marriage, with your family, at your workplace? Are you following Jesus in all of your relationships, right? In regard to your money, with your time? Are you following Jesus on the way, or have you become sidelined? Now, as we begin to wrap this up, my prayer and my heart for myself and for you, for every single one of us here today, my prayer is that every single one of us would be on the way. That we would be on the way following Jesus. That's why we exist as a church, so that we can be consistently, persistently, continually following Jesus. Are you on the way, or have other things sidetracked you? Get back on the highway. Get back on the path. See Jesus and his glory and his splendor. Realize that every moment of your life, from your very birth, every moment is because Jesus had mercy on you. At the end of the day, we're to be a people on the way following Jesus, just like blind Bartimaeus. There's a 19th century hymn that I think really captures the heart of this passage and of this sermon. Music sometimes has a way of doing that. And the hymn is an old Fanny Crosby hymn. It's called Pass Me Not. And it goes like this. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on earth thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on earth thou art calling, do not pass me by. The crowds told Bartimaeus, be quiet. But Jesus did not pass him by. And just like with Bartimaeus, Jesus loves you. He hears your cries for mercy. Cry out to him, and he will not pass you by. Let's pray.
Lord Jesus, I thank you for the grace and the power that we have received by your mercy. And I pray that every single one of us would be brought from blindness to sight. For some, that's a fast process. For others, it's a slow process. But Lord, I pray that you would be at work in us, healing us physically, but even more so, healing us spiritually. And Lord, I pray that you would be gracious to us. I pray that you would have mercy on us. Help us. Keep us humble. Keep us dependent on you. Help us to move from being along the side of the road to being on the way, following the author and perfecter of our faith, Jesus Christ. We thank you so much. And in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.